The Great Discourse on the Harvest of Deeds. Third section for recitation. Then the Blessed One, Vipassi, the Perfected One, the Fully Awakened Buddha, thought, "Why don't I teach the Dhamma?" Then he thought, "This principle I have discovered is deep, hard to see, hard to understand, peaceful, sublime, beyond the scope of reason, subtle, comprehensible to the astute. But people like attachment, they love it and enjoy it. It's hard for them to see this thing, that is, specific conditionality, dependent origination. It's also hard for them to see this thing, that is, the stilling of all activities, the letting go of all attachments, the ending of craving, fading away, cessation, extinguishment. And if I were to teach the Dhamma, others might not understand me, which would be wearying and troublesome for me. And then these verses, which were neither supernaturally inspired nor learned before in the past, occurred to him. I've struggled hard to realize this, enough with trying to explain it. This teaching is not easily understood by those mired in greed and hate. Those caught up in greed can't see what's subtle, going against the stream, deep, hard to see and very fine, for they're shrouded in a mass of darkness." So as the Buddha Vipassi reflected like this, his mind inclined to remaining passive, not to teaching the Dhamma. Then a certain great Brahma, knowing what the Buddha Vipassi was thinking, thought, "Oh my goodness, the world will be lost, the world will perish, for the mind of the realized one Vipassi, the perfected one, the fully awakened Buddha, inclines to remaining passive, not to teaching the Dhamma." Then as easily as a strong person would extend or contract their arm, he vanished from the Brahma realm and reappeared in front of the Buddha Vipassi. He arranged his robe over one shoulder, knelt on his right knee, raised his joined palms toward the Buddha Vipassi and said, "Sir, let the Blessed One teach the Dhamma. Let the Holy One teach the Dhamma. There are beings with little dust in their eyes. They're in decline because they haven't heard the teaching. There will be those who understand the teaching." When he said this, the Buddha Vipassi said to him, "I too thought this, Brahma. Why don't I teach the Dhamma?" Then it occurred to me, if I were to teach the Dhamma, others might not understand me, which would be wearying and troublesome for me. So as I reflected like this, my mind inclined to remaining passive, not to teaching the Dhamma. For a second time and a third time, that great Brahma begged the Buddha to teach. Then, understanding Brahma's invitation, the Buddha Vipassi surveyed the world with the eye of a Buddha because of his compassion for sentient beings. And he saw sentient beings with little dust in their eyes, and some with much dust in their eyes, with keen faculties and with weak faculties, with good qualities and with bad qualities, easy to teach and hard to teach. And some of them lived, seeing the danger in the fault to do with the next world, while others did not. It's like a pool with blue water lilies, or pink or white lotuses. Some of them sprout and grow in the water without rising above it, thriving under water. Some of them sprout and grow in the water, reaching the water's surface. And some of them sprout and grow in the water, but rise up above the water and stand with no water clinging to them. In the same way, the Buddha Vipassi saw sentient beings with little dust in their eyes, and some with much dust in their eyes. Then that great Brahma, knowing what the Buddha Vipassi was thinking, addressed him in verse. "Standing high on a rocky mountain, you can see the people all around. It's just the same way, all-seer, wise one, ascend the palace built of Dhamma. You're free of sorrow, but look at these people, overwhelmed with sorrow, oppressed by rebirth and old age. Rise, hero, victor in battle, leader of the caravan. Wander the world without obligation. Let the Blessed One teach the Dhamma. There will be those who understand." Then the Buddha Vipassi addressed that great Brahma in verse. Flung open are the doors to the deathless. Let those with ears to hear decide their faith. Thinking it would be troublesome, Brahma, I did not teach the sophisticated, sublime Dhamma among humans. Then the great Brahma, knowing that his request for the Buddha Vipassi to teach the Dhamma had been granted, bowed and respectfully circled him, keeping him on his right before vanishing right there. Then the Blessed One, Vipassi, the Perfected One, the fully awakened Buddha thought, who should I teach first of all? Who will quickly understand this teaching? Then he thought that Kanda, the king's son, and Tissa, the high priest's son, are astute, competent, clever, and have long had little dust in their eyes. Why don't I teach them first of all? They will quickly understand this teaching. Then, as quickly as a strong person would extend or contract their arm, he vanished from the Tree of Awakening and reappeared near the capital city of Bandhumati in the deer park named Sanctuary. Then the Buddha Vipassi addressed the park keeper. My dear park keeper, please enter the city and say this to the king's son Kanda and the high priest's son Tissa. Sirs, the Blessed One Vipassi, the Perfected One, the fully awakened Buddha, has arrived at Bandhumati and is staying in the deer park named Sanctuary. He wishes to see you. Yes, sir, replied the park keeper, and did as he was asked. Then the king's son Kanda and the high priest's son Tissa had the finest carriages harnessed. Then they mounted a fine carriage and, along with other fine carriages, set out from Bandhumati for the sanctuary. They went by carriage as far as the terrain allowed, then descended and approached the Buddha Vipassi on foot. They bowed and sat down to one side. The Buddha Vipassi taught them step by step with a talk on giving, ethical conduct and heaven. He explained the drawbacks of sensual pleasures, so sordid and corrupt, and the benefit of renunciation. And when he knew that their minds were ready, pliable, rid of hindrances, joyful and confident, he explained the special teaching of the Buddhas, suffering, its origin, its cessation, and the path. Just as a clean cloth rid of stains would properly absorb dye, in that very seat the stainless, immaculate vision of the Dhamma arose in the king's son Kanda and the high priest's son Tissa. Everything that has a beginning has an end. They saw, attained, understood, and fathomed the Dhamma. They went beyond doubt, got rid of indecision, and became self-assured and independent of others regarding the teacher's instructions. They said to the Buddha Vipassi, excellent, sir, excellent, as if he were writing the overturned or revealing the hidden, or pointing out the path to the lost, or lighting a lamp in the dark so people with good eyes can see what's there. The Buddha has made the teaching clear in many ways. We go for refuge to the Blessed One, to the teaching, and to the mendicant Sangha. Sir, may we receive the going forth and ordination in the Buddha's presence. And they received the going forth, the ordination in the Buddha Vipassi's presence. Then the Buddha Vipassi educated, encouraged, fired up, and inspired them with a Dhamma talk. He explained the drawbacks of conditioned phenomena, so sordid and corrupt, and the benefit of extinguishment. Being taught like this, their minds were soon freed from defilements by not grasping. A large crowd of 84,000 people in the capital of Bandhumati heard that the Blessed One Vipassi, the Perfected One, the fully awakened Buddha, had arrived at Bandhumati and was staying in the deer park named Sanctuary. And they heard that the king's son Kanda and the high priest's son Tissa had shaved off their hair and beard, dressed in ochre robes, and gone forth from the lay life to homelessness in the Buddha's presence. It occurred to them, this must be no ordinary teaching and training, no ordinary going forth in which the king's son Kanda and the high priest's son Tissa have gone forth. If even they go forth, why don't we do the same? Then those 84,000 people left Bandhumati for the deer park named Sanctuary, where they approached the Buddha Vipassi, bowed, and sat down to one side. The Buddha Vipassi taught them step by step with a talk on giving, ethical conduct, and heaven. He explained the drawbacks of sensual pleasures, so sordid and corrupt, and the benefit of renunciation. And when he knew that their minds were ready, pliable, rid of hindrances, joyful and confident, he explained the special teaching of the Buddhas, suffering, its origin, its cessation, and the path. Just as a clean cloth rid of stains would properly absorb dye, in that very seat the stainless, immaculate vision of the Dhamma arose in those 84,000 people. Everything that has a beginning has an end. They saw, attained, understood and fathomed the Dhamma. They went beyond doubt, got rid of indecision, and became self-assured and independent of others regarding the teacher's instructions. They said to the Buddha Vipassi, "Excellent, sir, excellent." And just like Kunda and Tissa, they asked for and received ordination. Then the Buddha taught them further. Being taught like this, their minds were soon freed from defilements by not grasping. The 84,000 people who had gone forth previously also heard, "It seems the Blessed One Vipassi, the Perfected One, the Fully Awakened Buddha, has arrived at Bandhumati and is staying in the deer park named Sanctuary, and he is teaching the Dhamma." Then they too went to see the Buddha Vipassi, realized the Dhamma, went forth and became freed from defilements. Now at that time, a large sangha of 6,800,000 mendicants were residing at Bandhumati. As the Buddha Vipassi was in private retreat, this thought came to his mind: "The sangha residing at Bandhumati now is large. What if I was to urge them, 'Wander forth, mendicants, for the welfare and happiness of the people, out of compassion for the world, for the benefit, welfare and happiness of gods and humans. Let not two go by one road. Teach the Dhamma that's good in the beginning, good in the middle and good in the end, meaningful and well phrased, and reveal a spiritual practice that's entirely full and pure. There are beings with little dust in their eyes. They're in decline because they haven't heard the teaching. There will be those who understand the teaching. But when 6 years have passed, you must all come to Bandhumati to recite the monastic code." Then a certain great Brahma, knowing what the Buddha Vipassi was thinking, as easily as a strong person would extend or contract their arm, vanished from the Brahma realm and reappeared in front of the Buddha Vipassi. He arranged his robe over one shoulder, knelt on his right knee, raised his joined palms toward the Buddha Vipassi and said, "That's so true, Blessed One. That's so true, Holy One. The Sangha residing at Bandhumati now is large. Please urge them to wander as you thought. And, sir, I'll make sure that when 6 years have passed, the mendicants will return to Bandhumati to recite the monastic code." That's what that great Brahma said. Then he bowed and respectfully circled the Buddha Vipassi, keeping him on his right side, before vanishing right there. Then in the late afternoon, the Buddha Vipassi came out of retreat and addressed the mendicants, telling them all that had happened. Then he said, "Wander forth, mendicants, for the welfare and happiness of the people, out of compassion for the world, for the benefit, welfare and happiness of gods and humans. Let not two go by one road. Teach the Dhamma that's good in the beginning, good in the middle and good in the end, meaningful and well phrased, and reveal a spiritual practice that's entirely full and pure. There are beings with little dust in their eyes. They're in decline because they haven't heard the teaching. There will be those who understand the teaching. But when 6 years have passed, you must all come to Bandhumati to recite the monastic code." Then most of the mendicants departed to wander the country that very day. Now at that time there were 84,000 monasteries in India. And when the first year came to an end, the deities raised the cry, "Good sirs, the first year has ended. Now 5 years remain. When 5 years have passed, you must all go to Bantumati to recite the monastic code." And when the second year, the third year, the fourth year, the fifth year came to an end, the deities raised the cry, "Good sirs, the fifth year has ended. Now 1 year remains. When 1 year has passed, you must all go to Bantumati to recite the monastic code." And when the sixth year came to an end, the deities raised the cry, "Good sirs, the sixth year has ended. Now is the time that you must go to Bantumati to recite the monastic code." Then, that very day, the mendicants went to Bantumati to recite the monastic code. Some went by their own psychic power, and some by the psychic power of the deities. And there, the Blessed One, Vipassi, the Perfected One, the Fully Awakened Buddha, recited the monastic code thus. Patient acceptance is the highest austerity. Extinguishment is the highest, say the Buddhas. No true renunciate injures another, nor does an ascetic hurt another. Not to do any evil, to embrace the good, to purify one's mind, this is the instruction of the Buddhas. Not speaking ill, nor doing harm, restraint in the monastic code, moderation in eating, staying in remote lodgings, commitment to the higher mind, this is the instruction of the Buddhas. At one time, mendicants, I was staying near Ukatta in the Subhaka forest at the root of a magnificent sal tree. As I was in private retreat, this thought came to mind, it's not easy to find an abode of sentient beings where I haven't previously abided in all this long time, except for the gods of the pure abodes. Why don't I go to see them? Then as easily as a strong person would extend or contract their arm, I vanished from the Subhaka forest and reappeared with the Awiha gods. In that order of gods, many thousands, many hundreds of thousands of deities approached me, bowed, stood to one side and said to me, 91 aeons ago, good sir, the Buddha Vipassi arose in the world, perfected and fully awakened. He was born as an aristocrat into an aristocrat family. Kundanya was his clan. He lived for 80,000 years. He was awakened at the root of a trumpet flower tree. He had a fine pair of chief disciples named Kanda and Tissa. He had three gatherings of disciples, one of 6,800,000, one of 100,000, and one of 80,000, all of them mendicants who had ended their defilements. He had as chief attendant a mendicant named Asaka. His father was King Bandhuma, his birth mother was Queen Bantumati, and their capital city was named Bantumati. And such was his renunciation, such his going forth, such his striving, such his awakening, and such his rolling forth of the wheel of Dhamma. And good sir, after leading the spiritual life under that Buddha Vipassi, we lost our desire for sensual pleasures and were reborn here. And other deities came and similarly recounted the details of the Buddhas Sikhi, Wesapu, Kakusanda, Konagamana, and Kassapa. In that order of gods, many hundreds of deities approached me, bowed, stood to one side and said to me, "In the present fortunate aeon, good sir, you have arisen in the world, perfected and fully awakened. You were born as an aristocrat into an aristocrat family. Gotama is your clan. For you, the lifespan is short, brief and fleeting. A long-lived person lives for a century or a little more. You were awakened at the root of a peepal tree. You have a fine pair of chief disciples named Sariputta and Moggallana. You have had one gathering of disciples, 1,250 mendicants who had ended their defilements. You have as chief attendant a mendicant named Ananda. Your father is King Suddhodana. Your birth mother was Queen Maya, and your capital city was Kapilavastu. And such was your renunciation, such your going forth, such your striving, such your awakening, and such your rolling forth of the wheel of Dhamma. And good sir, after leading the spiritual life under you, we lost our desire for sensual pleasures, and were reborn here. Then, together with the Avaha gods, I went to see the Atapa gods, the gods fair to see, and the fair seeing gods. Then, together with all these gods, I went to see the gods of Akanita, where we had a similar conversation. And that is how the realized one is able to recollect the caste, names, clans, lifespan, chief disciples, and gatherings of disciples of the Buddhas of the past who have become completely extinguished, cut off proliferation, cut off the track, finished off the cycle, and transcended suffering. It is both because I have clearly comprehended the principle of the teachings, and also because the deities told me. That is what the Buddha said. Satisfied, the mendicants were happy with what the Buddha said.